you have your Bibles, we want you to turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And as you stand, I want to ask you this question. What's your spiritual gift? You know what it is? Because so many times when you talk to people about what is your spiritual gift, they don't know. 69% of people George Barna polled said they had heard of spiritual gifts, but they did not know if they had one, and they did not know what they were. I want to say to you tonight, before we read this text, that every one of God's children has been given a spiritual gift. I'm not just talking about salvation. That's the gift of God. I'm talking about God has called you to be a gifted child of God. And you have possession of that gift tonight. The problem is, so many of us don't know what it is, so we're neglecting. Or some people think they know what their gift is, and they're doing something they were never called to do or gifted to do, and they're abusing the gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We'll stop reading right there. Father, I pray now you would help us, Lord, because preaching tonight, it's good preaching weather, but a deep subject. So tonight, Father, as we take the plow, not looking back, help us to set the tongue of the plow deep. Father, I pray that the rows would be furred off straight. You would help us tonight, Father, that your people would be gifted to hear and understand. And I pray, God, that you would touch us and help us to speak clearly by the help of the Holy Spirit. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So many people have no idea about their spiritual gift. Some of you, when I mention spiritual gifts, you've already, if you had a clicker, you've already clicked me off and said, I don't want to hear about spiritual gifts. Click. But I have news for you. God has given you one. And some people have more than one gift. But all believers have at least one. First of all tonight, I want us to look in these first three verses and understand the distinction of spiritual gifts. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, the church at Corinth was founded upon a sure foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ. So the foundation is right. But there are multitudes of problems existing at the church at Corinth. In chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" They're saved, but carnal. And such is the typical church today. Saved, but carnal. We're so much in the flesh, we're seldom of any heavenly good. When I think about these verses, the distinction of these spiritual gifts once more, the church at Corinth being carnal, they have mistaken, or they are confused, or they have some muddy waters of the mind about what spiritual gifts are all about. As such is the typical church. The word gifts in the Greek is the word charismata. That scares a lot of you all to death, from which we get the word charismatic. But what it literally means in the Greek is it is a grace-given gift. When God gave you spiritual gifts, He gave you a grace-given gift. It is unmerited, it is undeserved, and it is freely given. Verse 1, Paul wants the church to know and understand about spiritual gifts. He said, "I would not have you ignorant." In verse 2, he reminds the church of what they once were. They were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. They were pagans. They were heathens serving false gods. But they heard the gospel. The Holy Ghost convicted them. They got saved and began to serve God. In verse 3, he warns them they've been led astray in the past, and if they're not careful, they're going to be led astray in the present. He said that, "Let no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." You see, the Spirit of God will always give witness that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So let us quickly make the distinction about spiritual gifts. A, I want to define gift, not spiritual gift, a gift, because many people confuse the two. At the moment of salvation, God gives to you and I eternal life. It is the gift of God. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. He is a guarantee. He is our gift. He lives inside each and every believer. In Acts chapter 2, we will have Bible 101 tonight. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, Peter preaching says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit is a gift. This is not the spiritual gift that Paul is telling Corinth about, but the Spirit of God is a gift. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9 comes to mind. Look at the B part of that verse. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. For every believer that is truly saved receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we're making a distinction of the gifts. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not what Paul's talking about. And then there are the graces of the Holy Spirit. Many people consider these graces of the Holy Spirit to be a gift. But I say to you, they are not a gift, but they are the Christian character. They are the fruit of the Spirit found in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 9 in total, all of them stemming from that first one, love. I remember some years back, I tried to preach a series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit, and I had to stop at number 2 on joy because I got so filled up I couldn't get off of it, and preached about 6 months on love and joy and finally just give up on it. Amen. Amen. Love and joy and peace, I like them, don't you? They will work. So there is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is the presence of the Spirit. There are the graces of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And then there are the gifts. The spiritual gifts, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that Paul is speaking of, those are God-given abilities for service. So what is then number 2? I want us to see the definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a supernatural given ability by Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation. The minute you got saved and the Holy Ghost moved in, He also gave you individually and particularly a gift, a spiritual gift. Lewis Sperry Schaeffer of the Dallas Theological Seminary said that the spiritual gift is the Holy Spirit doing a particular service through a believer and using the believer to do it. Boy, I like that. That's simple. You see, a spiritual gift comes from God and is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in this church at Corinth that's filled with confusion and division and envy and strife and carnality, they still had spiritual gifts. In chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, please turn there, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said to this church, you are behind in no gift. You look at some churches and you say, wow, look at what God is doing there. There is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon that place, and in that place, God is doing a work. Corinth was a carnal church, but they were not behind in any manner of gift. I want to say to this church tonight, God has divinely given to every one of us a spiritual gift. And one reason we may feel handicapped or hindered is because we do not use the gift that God has given us. And thus, we are spiritually crippled or handicapped because we will not try to find or develop the gift that God's given to us. There is, next of all, thirdly, there is the discernment of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, as I once said, are not salvation, although salvation is a gift of God. Spiritual gifts are not about character. That spiritual gift, some of you, you'll sit here and say, I know what my gift is. My gift is I am a talented musician or singer. That is not in the list of spiritual gifts. Wait a minute, preacher. Well, then what's my gift if I don't have that? Listen, you could use your ability. I'll pick on one of you piano players. You could use your ability to play at the honky-tonk. That's a natural talent. But praise God, you've surrendered that ability to play praiseworthy music for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this ability has to be surrendered. Are you with me? There's a great danger of folk who confuse natural talent with spiritual gifts. I saw a lot of people who come into the church that believe they were God's gift to the church. I've seen them strut around like a peacock and act like, boy, the choir would never sing without me in it. A choir would never get anything done without me playing the piano. Look at me, I'm here, I'm arrived, and now y'all are all blessed. God bless you. Number four, there is the diversity of spiritual gifts beginning in verse number four of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. All gifts come from the Holy Spirit, but there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. There are speaking gifts. There are service gifts. There are sign gifts. Verse 5 says, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Understand, there are diversities of administrations. What it means is there are different ministries. Not all churches have the same ministry. Some churches are completely focused and mission-minded. Some churches are very evangelical. Some churches are about discipleship once they've won some. All churches are about Jesus, but there are different areas of ministry to individual churches, and yet every church is unique within the body of Christ, and we all are complete in Him. You see, the churches with different gifts in area churches, we should learn to work together. And together, through Christ, we're strong. But so many churches get divisive and they get under the entrapments of the pride of the devil, and we will no longer work together. Proverbs 18:16 came to my mind as I was studying Proverbs 18:16. You see, if churches aren't careful, they will neglect the gifts that God has given them. And I promise you that according to Proverbs 18:16, God, look at what the word says. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. When God gives you a gift for service or for speaking, whatever, God will devise a place of service for you to use that gift. So many times, folks in the church do not know what their gift is. They do not want to consider their gift. In fact, you're here tonight as I preach. There's not a lot of amens. There's not a lot of shouting because many people say, I don't even know if I have a gift. Yep, man. While you're here in Proverbs, look at chapter 25 and verse number 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Be careful that you don't try to exercise a gift that you do not in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not only is there different ministries for different churches, all under the same Lord. Verse 6 says there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, there are same spirit, different energies of operation within that church. The Bible says in Romans 12:6, listen to this, having them gifts differing according to grace that is given to us. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I was going to use this illustration. If tonight I had a cannonball, okay? The cannonball, let's say the cannonball is a spiritual gift. Okay? It's got some energy. It's going to be placed inside the cannon. The cannon is the ministry. With me? The cannon would shoot the cannonball. The ministry would, in effect, take the spiritual gift and use it. But the cannon will not fire without powder. And the powder is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives energy to the cannon, the ministry, to exercise the spiritual gift to fire the cannonball. Put the devil on the run and let the cannons loose for the glory of God. You'll not fire one shot without the Holy Ghost blesses you to do so. That's what he's trying to say. There is a diversity of spiritual gifts, but we've all got to go use the same gunpowder. Holy Spirit power. TNT. Dynamo. Amen. Number five. We're getting deeper now. Y'all still okay? Number five. There is the distribution of spiritual gifts. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. See, spiritual gifts are individually given to every man. In other words, to every believer. Now, y'all hearing me? I looked that word up, every man. And it is a word which would include a boy that is saved, a girl that is saved, an adult man or an elderly man, an adult woman or an elderly woman. It is all inclusive of any age or size or variety, amen, that gets saved. The Holy Ghost gives you a spiritual gift to use. You may feel like I'm only 7 years old, but God has given to you a spiritual gift. And more times than not, we'll watch a 7-year-old use their spiritual gift when a 47-year-old will sit on the pews and do nothing with it. So I want to say to you tonight, every one of you, not only are you a child of God, but you are a gifted child of God. The Bible says in verse 7 that the spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, this manifestation is a visible, made known to all manifestation. Everyone can see the spiritual gift God's placed in your life when you are using it effectively. I pray that when folks see the ministry at the Bethel Baptist Church, that folk would say, look what the Holy Ghost is doing up there. I sure hope to the Lord they don't say, look what Darren is doing. Look what the choir is doing. Look what the Sunday school is doing. Look what the school or the mission program is doing. Listen, it's about Jesus. We want to make everyone get their focus on Jesus, and your spiritual gift will exalt the name of Christ. Every person has a gift. Now, you can read from verses 12 all the way down through verse 27, and he talks about members of the body. And there are many members of my body or of your body, and every individual member has its own unique functions and properties. If I cut my finger, my toes say, don't worry about me, worry about him. You see, every one of us has a gift, and the gift is for the profit with all. In other words, it's for our good and for His glory. I remember one time I was preaching, and the Lord told me, laid on my heart while I was preaching, He said, I want you to take your shoes off. It humbled me, but I did. And the Lord said, now I want you to take your socks off too. And I didn't tell them why. All I knew is I walked around barefooted and preached to them. You know how I used my hands? And used my hands and walked around barefooted. And about 25 minutes later, my feet got cold. Real cold. God said, are your feet cold? I said, yes, sir. He said, put your socks back on. As I sat there, I started thinking about my toes. You see, maybe my toes got jealous of my hands. My toes said, how come we are never seen by everybody? You hands always up there moving around and everybody thinks you're doing it. We want a little attention down here. This is not right. And so I took off my socks and shoes, walked around barefoot, and everybody could see my toes. And after about 25 minutes, my toes said, bless God, it's cold out here. We was never called to open public ministry like this. Get us some warmth back on. We get us some shoes back on. We can't do a whole lot. But the big toe brings stability. My big toe said, hey, while the hands is doing this, I'll let you stand up and look good. I'll lift you boys up and make y'all think everybody knows what they're doing. When the hands can't hold you up, the big toes got everything anchored down here. Are you with me? At the end of the service, I had a woman. She came to me. She was weeping. She said, I can't be a whole lot, Preacher Darren. But I've surrendered my life tonight to be a big toe in my family. I don't want to be seen. I just want him to be seen. I'm telling you, she was tore up. If you and I could get to the place where we'd be willing to say, God, I don't know so much about all my gifts, but if I could just be a big toe, be a real good start. If you don't know what your gift is and you cannot use it for the body of Christ, you're crippling your spiritual life and crippling the ministry that is around you.